the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Stephen Jones.
If we're supposed to be mimicking God, walking in the love that was shown to us most beautifully in Christ, there are things that can't be a part of our lives, that shouldn't be a part of our lives, that are disgusting, revolting, when viewed in light of the perfect love of Christ, the perfect example of our God. And very often the offense is not so much what we do, or were we rude, or were we mean, but what do we say? Because walking together in love will affect the talking that we do. What damage are you doing with your tongue?
Today, Dr. Jones continues this year's theme, Walking Together in Love. To walk in love is to show Christ to others by avoiding the sins of the flesh that are pervasive in today's society. If you have a Bible at hand, we invite you to turn to Dr. Jones' text, Ephesians chapter 5. Here now is the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Stephen Jones.
Please open your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, as those of you know who were here last semester, walking together in love is the theme for the year. And first semester, the chapels that I had dealt solely with that theme and how God intends for it to be lived out in our lives as His children. Let's start again at verse 1 of chapter 5, where we get the theme. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Pause there for a moment. Said from the start of this year, we have two people we're supposed to be imaging, copying here. The word followers in verse 1 could be translated mimics, imitators. That our goal in life, once we know Christ, our goal in life is to image, to mimic God, the Father. The things that we see in Him to represent in ourselves by how we live. And then the second verse says, we're also to be mimicking Christ, to be walking in love as Christ did. And the verse goes on to say, we primarily see that, and we most beautifully see that love for Christ in His sacrifice. As He hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That's our Christ. That's what He did. When He hung on the cross that day, He was giving Himself to those who were haters of Him. He was dying for the people who spat upon Him, who tore out His beard, who whipped Him, who mocked Him. And He, as He hung there, was giving Himself, eternal God in the flesh. He was offering Himself up as an offering to be consumed, to meet, to satisfy the demands of the law of God that sin must be punished, or those sins must be laid upon one, dying in the place of the sinner. And as He hung there, He was offering Himself up as an offering, a sweet-smelling savor for those people and for you and for me, those of us who have offended Him countless times, again and again, going to the sin that we would spurn but draws us from within. Going again and again like a dog to its vomit to those sins. We who, before we knew Him, were His enemies. And while we were His enemies, while we were yet sinners, He died for us. That's the image that we're given. And we are to love others as Christ did. Now, that's a beautiful picture. The glory of Christ shown in the love and the sacrifice of Christ for you, for me. Now, it would take a lifetime to mimic that. And we will never love perfectly like that. But that is our goal. That's the pattern that we are supposed to be imaging, taking on in ourselves. But in the face of that lofty subject, Christ's sacrifice, as you turn and look down at the next verse, the first word is the word but. There's a contrast here. But in the face of the sacrifice, the love of Jesus Christ, the fumes of lust that will follow, are all the more gross, have all the less place in the believer's life. If we're supposed to be mimicking God, walking in the love that was shown to us most beautifully in Christ, there are things that can't be a part of our lives, that shouldn't be a part of our lives, that are disgusting, revolting, when viewed in light of the perfect love of Christ, the perfect example of our God. Look at verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Now, our theme is walking in love. But this morning, I want to ask you this. What damage are you doing? What damage are you doing? Walk in love. That's our goal. That's how we're supposed to be living in this student body as brothers and sisters in Christ on this campus. We're supposed to be showing Christ to our brothers and sisters here. To walk in love. But you know what? We don't. And very often the offense is not so much what we do or were we rude or were we mean, but what do we say? Because walking together in love will affect the talking that we do. And what damage are you doing with your tongue? Verse 3 says, fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Some definitions: fornication, illicit sexual activity. Anything other than one man with one woman within the bonds of marriage. Everything outside of that is fornication, young people. One man with one woman within the bounds of marriage. Everything else is illicit sexual activity. And it is to have no place in our lives. It is not walking in love. The profession of the mouth is that it is love, but it is not love for that person. It is love for self that will not bridle your own passions, that will not say, I love my future mate enough to save myself for her or for him, that says, I want what I want and I will take it now from somebody else whom I will probably later discard. Illicit sexual activity, fornication. And the word, the Greek word here, is the opposite of the word for self-control. The opposite for self-control. Those things that perhaps some of you have fallen in. Those things that all of us are tempted in. That are misdirected sexual appetites. Those things are the opposite of self-control. And they are to have no part in us. If we are looking like God, if we are imaging Christ, if we are walking in love, remembering the sweet-smelling sacrifice, the love that Christ showed to us, fornication will not be a part of that. Then it goes on to uncleanness. It's a more general term. It's used 10 times in the New Testament. One time Christ uses it of corruption in graves, of rotting flesh in graves. He uses this term. But other times it's used in reference to things that are sexually related. Though not the action which is taken in hand in fornication, it is anything else, anything unclean or filthy, most usually associated with sexual sin. Immoral thoughts. You may say, well, I've never fallen in that area, so I'm okay. But no, are you feasting on those thoughts? That's uncleanness. And it's to have no part. The pornography has no part in our lives as believers. The fantasies, anything unclean, has no part. And look at the word before it. All uncleanness. There is nothing that you or I can say and justify that fits that. All of it, anything unclean, is counter to how we're supposed to be walking. Fornication, uncleanness, and then one that seems almost misplaced here, covetousness. Covetousness. You say, well, okay, that's greed. That's desire for money. It is greed. But really, this is the root sin of those other two. Because before indulging in pornography, there's the greed for it. Before indulging in fornication, there's the greed for it. The greed, unnatural craving, or really what it is, dissatisfaction with what one has or doesn't have currently. That those things, fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness, let those not be once named among you. This is saying two things. First of all, it's saying it is so inconsistent with those who are Christians that these things, these activities shouldn't be present in the church. But they were present in Ephesus, else Paul wouldn't have been addressing it. Ephesus was saturated with sensuality, as is America. And it has crept into the church here, the lives of believers here, just like it did in Ephesus. And Paul is saying these things shouldn't be going in the church. Fornication shouldn't be happening in the lives of Christians. Uncleanness shouldn't be present in the minds and lives of believers. Covetousness shouldn't have part in the lives of those who are looking like Christ. All of those things are inconsistent. So not only those activities shouldn't be there, but also the fact that these shouldn't even be named among you. Now, obviously, this isn't saying you can't preach about them, because what is Paul doing here? He's preaching about these to the people in Ephesus. But he's saying your conversation should not relate to these things. Young people, do your conversations regularly relate to fornication or uncleanness or covetousness? If they do, you're doing harm. I'm doing harm. Our conversations regularly should not include this. Yes, these sins can be rebuked, but that is the extent of it. They're not to be entertained in conversation. And you and I would do well to remember that that's where those conversations come from. They wouldn't have come out of our mouth if they hadn't first been present in our heart. And then the next verse, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. He begins to hone in here, and he mentions some categories here that have no part. Now listen, I'm going to try to describe these to you, and I'm going to try to do it carefully because I don't want to wound your conscience in trying to describe to you what's being said, but I do want you to understand them. And frankly, this whole study is something that I did because this is my struggle. It was in junior high. It was in elementary school. It was in high school. It was in college. And it's still one of those things that you get me around some of those friends and it is a temptation because of those habits of conversation that have been there. And I wanted to understand, what is God saying clearly so I can clearly conform to it if I'm going to be pleasing to Him? And you need to know that clearly. Filthiness, the first word. Filthiness is obscenity, that which wounds the imagination in sexual matters. It's indecent, shameful, or degrading speech. What is deformed, revolting, what excites disgust that is moral and physical. Obscenity, that which wounds the imagination in sexual matters. That is anything that you discuss, that though you may not go there in the terms that the world would use, you refer to them and everybody else knows what you're talking about. Where all somebody has to do is in their imagination fill in the blanks with what they know and you know and they understand. Nicknames for the anatomy, nicknames for physical acts. Those are obscenities. That is filthiness. Anything which wounds the imagination in sexual matters. It has no part, young person, on this campus. Because it has no part in your mouth and my mouth if we know Christ. And if we are looking like Christ. The next word, foolish talking. Foolish talking. The word comes from moros. And we get the term moron from this. This is senseless. There is no reason for it other than just gratifying a base fleshly desire. Foolish talking. This is just stupid talk that is unmotivated, corrupt speech for the sole purpose of displaying an air of dirty worldliness. It's just because you were there and you knew this group was talking about something. And so to let them know that you're just as cool, that you're just as in touch with the terms they're using, the things they're referencing, that you just blurt something out so that they know you're clued into it. It's unmotivated, corrupt, fleshly speaking, just to show that we understand what's being talked about and just to show that we can hold our own in that conversation. That's foolish talking. If it's gone on in your society and you have been swept into it, not speaking out against it, but taking part of it, it was not walking in love. for you or for those who were participating before you. If it's taken place in your room, it was not walking in love. Or with those you call your friends, you were not walking in love with them, nor were they with you. Filthiness, which is obscenity, that which wounds the imagination in sexual matters. Foolish talking, coarse vulgarity, just to give an air of dirty worldliness. And then it says jesting. Jesting, is this saying no use of humor? No. But it is filthy humor that's being talked about. The Greek word here means to easily turn, to take something that was a serious subject and suddenly to twist it into something that is unclean, suggestive, something that's filthy. To take something that was fine and to easily turn it into filthy humor. This is the person for whom every decent conversation triggers several thoughts and several ways in which they can or do turn it to become filthy. If I can give you an illustration of it, this is probably number one tool of the late night talk show hosts who can get to fleshliness and sex from any subject. And they do. That's this jesting. Many of you know it. You can be having a perfectly good conversation at lunch, and there will be somebody there who all of a sudden takes it a different direction, turns it with some kind of double entendre, some type of fleshly humor, and it takes the conversation downhill from there. Some of you are pros at this. Oh, he's always good for a laugh. Oh, you don't know what to do in society meeting? Get him up there. He can keep everybody in stitches because of the subtext to what he's saying. That person is not walking like Christ. Nor are you or I when we are turning, quickly turning, and we get adept at it, don't we? The more we practice it, the better we become at it. To get from something serious and pure and fine, acceptable, into something filthy, humor, right away. Those things shouldn't be a part of your life. That talking is no part of walking in love. But what is, the end of the verse says, but rather giving of thanks. Rather giving of thanks. Now this is really a rebuke, a conviction. Know what should be present in your life instead of that double meaning, instead of that coarse vulgarity, instead of that obscenity? Know what should be present in your conversation? Giving thanks to God. Remembering what He did for you. And rejoicing in that. Thrilling in that with others. That thanksgiving should be present in our life. You want to see how are we displeasing to God? Put in a scale on opposite sides. How often does your conversation turn to thanksgiving versus how often does it turn to coarse vulgarity, obscenity, filthy jesting? Unfortunately, for most of us, it's probably tipped very heavily in favor of the latter. But we're commanded to do the former, to be giving thanks to God, using our tongues for what they were intended to do, to give praise to our Creator and our God instead of doing damage to His children by how we're talking. So my question for you is, if your goal is to walk in love, here's a very specific application from Scripture that we're commanded to make. Are you walking in love? You can say, yeah, ideally I've been being nicer to people. I've been doing these things we discussed first semester. I've been reaching out, as Pastor Potter mentioned, to people who are by themselves. Okay, now look at your conversation. And young person, what damage are you doing? Are you avoiding these things completely, like Paul says? Because that's what you'll do if you're imaging God, if you're walking in love like Christ. And the degree to which these things are present in our lives are the degree to which we are not following our God, and we are not walking in love with our brothers and sisters around us. Without packing up, please, just close your eyes, bow your heads. Let's close in prayer. Father, your word is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. And it is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts us. It shows us the filth within our own hearts. And today, Lord, it's shown us the filth that is in our hearts that often comes out of our mouths. This is our society, Lord. This is the era in which we've been born. And these things have come into the church today, but they have also come into our own hearts and lives. And Father, we're not loving like you've asked us to and commanded us to, but we're doing damage with our tongues instead of giving thanks, instead of edifying and building up. So Father, we ask this morning that every one of us would analyze the degree to which we conform to this command, that these things have no part in the conversation of saints. And then, Lord, help us to do business with you, first asking forgiveness, then asking forgiveness of those we've hurt with our tongues, by the filthiness of our tongues. And then, Lord, changing the way we walk, that we would look like you and not like the sin-darkened world around us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Because the place is good and heaven is holy ground.
May our lives be characterized as those who mimic Jesus Christ in our conduct and conversation as we learn to live by His Word. Today's message was preached by the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Stephen Jones. If you enjoyed today's message, you'll be equally blessed by other powerful teaching messages available from Bob Jones University. To receive a free catalog containing hundreds of selected sermons spanning over 75 years of biblical fundamentalism, call us toll-free at 1-866-BJU-RADIO. Again, that's 1-866-BJU-RADIO. Or visit our website at bjuradio.com. And while you're there, the BJU Radio website has information about other helpful resources for you and your family. Or you can write us at BJ Radio, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Today's Christian Preacher is a quarterly magazine designed to help the man of God in his personal life. It covers issues of personal importance, such as integrity, finances, time management, and family values. Today's Christian Preacher is sent free of charge to those in the ministry, as well as to those who are preparing for ministry. Your pastor can register for a free subscription by calling us toll-free at 1-866-BJU-RADIO. Again, that's 1-866-BJU-RADIO, or visit our website at bjuradio.com. Or you can write us at BJ Radio, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Thank you for joining us today, and we invite you to be listening next week for another recent message on Chapel Echoes, an outreach ministry of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.